Hey, BillO'Reilly.com premium members, welcome to the No Spin News, Monday, June 26, 2017. So the big story is the Supreme Court and the travel ban, but because everybody's covered that ad infinitum, I want to do a story up top, and we will get to that travel thing, about President Obama and the Russian interference in the election, because this is a big story that nobody's covering to the extent that it should be covered. And that's the liberal networks are not doing it because they adore President Obama, and this makes him look bad. And the Fox News Channel isn't covering it. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. It's not. Anyway, here's what happened. Back in August, the CIA told President Obama, apparently, that Russia was hacking and trying to get in. They didn't really know why. In October, all right, the Director of National Intelligence became certain that Russian officials behind the explosive documents dumped by WikiLeaks. This was the hacking into the DNC, Podesta, all of that, okay? Remember favoring Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders and the DNC chair, the congresswoman from Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, had to resign, all of that. So the Director of National Intelligence goes to President Obama and says, look, Russia's trying to screw up the election, trying to get in and cause trouble, all right? October 7th, all right? President Obama said nothing. So the Democratic National Committee is in disarray. Hillary Clinton's getting pounded. And President Obama says nothing. No leaks like we have now on Trump. Okay, so then the election goes forward. And just before the election, two Democratic senators get wind that the CIA has developed information linking Russia to this. They are Dianne Feinstein and Ben Cardin. Dianne Feinstein, California, Cardin from Maryland. Okay, so they get wind that Russia's doing it. And they write a letter to President Obama saying, hey, come on, what are you doing? You got to tell us what's happening, and then you got to punish Russia. It's right before the election, like 5 days. Nobody knows any of that. It's all secret. So a group called Operation 45 gets wind that this is in the air, files a Freedom of Information Act, okay? And just over the weekend, releases documents showing the letters written to President Obama, the DIA's, Defense Intelligence, briefing him, and Obama didn't do anything. Now, think about this. Think about it. President Obama's campaigning aggressively for Hillary Clinton, hammering Trump every time he turns around. Trump's bad. If he had put this out, President Obama might have helped Hillary Clinton. Maybe. We don't know. But it certainly would have alerted all voters that this was in play, correct? He didn't put it out. Nobody knows why. So George Will, remember old George? He used to be on Fox News Channel. Now he's on MSNBC. And I don't trust his analysis. I don't think he's particularly, just let's say I don't trust his analysis, right? He goes on Meet the Press yesterday and says, oh, if Barack Obama had announced that this was happening, Hillary Clinton would have won the election. No question about it. She would have won. Trump would have lost. Well, why didn't he then, George? Does he hate Hillary Clinton? Did he want Hillary Clinton to lose? Why? Of course, you know, you don't get that from the national media, who didn't want to talk about the story very much anyway. They just want to kind of tamp it down. So, very strange, is it not? Very, very strange. I'll tell you, there's something more going on here. I don't know what it is, but with the Freedom of Information Act rolling out stuff, and with Mueller, and you know me, I'm not some conspiratorialist guy. I'm not peddling that stuff. But Mueller, looking into this Russia thing, Barack Obama. I'm not going to go further, but anything that happens on this story, I promise I'll report it to you. You just keep that in mind. All right, Supreme Court. They have upheld, as we predicted they would from the very first day, that the President of the United States has the power to limit immigration many countries wants. All right, that's written down. And these lawyers and judges who stopped President Trump from keeping people out of here for only 90 days from Somalia, Libya, Sudan, Iran, Syria, and Yemen. Right off the top of my head, I should have it written down, but right off the top of my head. So from the very beginning, we knew this was a political, these judges were doing this, it was political, all right, anti-Muslim. And I loved, and I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. I love the Hawaii judge who said, you know what, this ban, this is hurting tourism in Hawaii. So I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, I know. Last time I was in Honolulu and Maui and Kauai, three of the nicest places in the world to go, I saw so many people from Yemen, I couldn't tell you. I just couldn't tell you. Hey, you know, how you doing? How are things in Yemen? It's a little discombobulated there. Somalia, you know, now if you look at the map, both Yemen and Somalia have thousands of miles of coastline. They're on the Indian Ocean, and they have very warm temperatures, warmer than Hawaii. Yet the judge in Honolulu would have us believe that people in Yemen and people in Somalia and Sudan too, they want to book tours halfway around the world so they can get a little sun and sand and ocean. They want to pay thousands of dollars in countries where the median income is like $2 a day to go. I know. So corrupt. That's all I can tell you. So anyway, Trump's happy. He's vindicated. Supreme Court's going to hear the case in October, but the case is over by then. So the ban's only 90 days. Now, they could expand it. They could say, we need another 90 days, sort all this out. You remember basically what this is all about is that these six countries have no vetting on their side. So you can get on a plane in Libya, in Tripoli, fly to Paris, short flight, change planes, come to New York. Nobody knows who you are. There's no authorities in Libya checking anybody. They don't coordinate with Interpol. They don't coordinate with our immigration officials. Now, in France, they're supposed to, but it's easy, you know, once you don't originate in France or Britain or Italy, whatever, to change and go. So that's what they're doing. So anyway, the Supreme Court did the right thing, thank you, with one exception on the law or on the ban. If you are a Somali who has relatives here in the USA, you can still come. And that's fine with me. That's fine with me. Okay, healthcare. So there was a slight change today in the Senate where the senator said, if you have health insurance and you don't renew your policy because you say, why should I be paying these premiums now that there is a pre-existing condition law? I don't need it. If I get sick, I'll just buy it again. You have to pay 30% more. All right, we're going to talk to Glenn Beck about this in a minute. That was really the only tweak. What does this come down to? Comes down to three senators, whether Mitch McConnell can twist their arm and say, vote for this health care bill. All the other stuff, Congressional Budget Office, this is going to cost more, it's going to cost less, it's all bull. Nobody knows. But I tell you what, if they pass it and then your premiums continue to go up, Democrats will win next time around. So to me, if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this 143-page bill and I'm going, you know what, Obamacare's got to go, I'll vote for this, and if it doesn't work, we'll revise it again. And remember, there's other things coming, like competition among insurance companies across state lines, which would, by theory, lower prices. So I'd probably vote for it. All right, so now my pal Glenn Beck, we have like a lend-lease program here. I do his program on the radio. I think we're going to start Tuesdays and Fridays. We're going to do it this Friday. I don't know if Tuesday starts tomorrow. I don't think it does. He's on the road. But I do his program, and now he's going to do the No Spin News every week. As Beck and I have known him a long time. He's more of a libertarian. I'm more of a traditional guy. So it is, we don't agree on everything. So it took us a while to track Beck down. Roll tape. So now let's bring in our pal, Glenn Beck, who's in Los Angeles. Why, Beck? Why L.A.?
It is as far as I can get away from you.
That's true. In this country.
I'm thinking about Hawaii. That is technically, you know, further and still America. So I think I could do that. But this is as far as I could get so far.
Do you have heavy-duty business interests out there in the Southern California community?
Yeah, we have a lot of meetings. We're looking at producing some things, and so we're just doing some work out here in LA where we have to be, and it is a bizarre place.
Bill. Now it is. One more question about you: do you call people babe when you're out there at the meetings?
No, I don't, and I don't do lunch. I might have lunch, but I don't do it.
I see. So you eat lunch. Yeah. You just don't do lunch.
I don't know how to do lunch. And it sounds
neither do
scary.
It's so ridiculous. I'll call you, babe. All right, let's get into the news of the day here. The Senate's going to vote this week, so Mitch McConnell says, on the health care bill. But I want to know if you were Mitch McConnell, Beck. What?
Oh, please don't make me be Mitch McConnell.
What do you think is fair? Not intricacies, but just overall, what's a fair healthcare system?
A fair healthcare system is if we need to take care of people at the bottom end, then we look at Medicare and Medicaid, and we make sure that they get the healthcare that they need. Then the job of the government is to make to get out of the way and to make business as prosperous as it can be while not screwing people. And what we have now is the federal government getting into the business of big business with the pharmaceutical companies, with the insurance companies. Everybody's getting rich. Everybody's getting their fair share if you're in that group. And it's screwing the rest of America.
But what about the insurance industry? Let's zero in on that. So they don't want to give insurance, health insurance, without a sky high premium to people who discover they have cancer and don't have any, and then they sign up and say, "Look, I got cancer. Now I want insurance, but I didn't have it for 20 years before."
Right. And what would you do there? There's a couple of things. Let's understand insurance. The sky-high premiums have gone up 140% when we were all told they were going to come down and we were all going to save $2,500 per family.
Right.
Since Obamacare has started, 140%. Something is very wrong here. Second of all, one of the reasons that it's gone up is because that's not insurance. That's a guaranteed payout. You know, the idea of insurance is we're all in a pool together and we hope that most of us aren't going to get cancer. And then we help pay through our premiums for the people who do.
Okay. So you're against the pre-existing condition ban. You would say, look, you either buy insurance or you don't buy it. If you don't buy it, you're on your own.
Okay. Here's the thing. If you don't have insurance at this point, maybe I'm for the pre-existing conditions like today. Everyone who doesn't have it, buy it. Even if you have a pre-existing condition, you have to buy it. And the government...
All right, so you give them a time period where they have to buy insurance, and if they don't, they're on their own. All right, that's interesting.
Correct.
So let's talk about incivility. This is a big theme of yours, and you've been talking about witches casting spells on Donald Trump.
Now,
I guess the left is after him.
Yes. You say that as if you shouldn't take the witch casting spell seriously.
Oh,
and
me?
Yeah, I mean, there were right. 2,000. There were 2,000 witches on Facebook that were casting spells last week on Donald Trump, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, official rules on how to bind people, but this is a serious deal that some people 2,000 witches
2,000
all across the country.
So if the president comes out as a frog, we know why that happened.
No, they're just binding him. I did check. He can't be turned into a newt or anything else.
Can't be.
But he's bound now.
Now, this is ridiculous, but it does go to a serious subject where, and you've been talking a lot about this on your radio program in The Blaze, the inability of people who have opposing political points of view to be civil to each other. So what's the genesis of that?
There's a couple of things, Bill. First of all, I think it is important to, I mean, I joke about the witches and I think it's ridiculous, but there is something to, you know, ancient rituals like this. Some of these people were very serious and you're messing with some dark stuff. And I know the left doesn't believe in that, but I happen to believe in good and evil. And it disturbs me that, you know, they can, the left can so easily wrap their arms around things like witches and think it's funny when a lot of people in the country don't. And this comes from a lack of understanding of each other and being able to appreciate one another. You know, the left, this a great book by Jonathan Haidt talks about the language of the right and the left, and he's a professor at NYU, thought he was a big New York progressive. As it turns out, not so much, because he started to do a study about language, and he had always thought that the right just didn't have a heart and didn't care. And when he started listening to people like you and me, he started hearing that some conservatives use the same language as the left, and it connected, and he said, wait a minute, they do care. They're just speaking a different language. For instance, with the witches, we speak the language of sanctity, that there are things that are sacred, but the right doesn't speak that. So they don't understand it. And it's like if you're going on a mission to, you know, convert people in Mexico, but you don't speak Spanish, it's not going to end well for you.
All right. So you take good and evil seriously, and I do as well, although I don't want to be judgmental because... on some things that I don't know 100% about, because that's not fair. But
right.
You say that this underlying thing about the witches is a serious thing because they're trying to harm the President of the United States.
Well, you know, I hate to take the witches more seriously than we should. I'm just using them as an example.
Right.
That the left will laugh this off, and some on the right will too, without recognizing that there are a good number of people in America that take this kind of stuff very seriously, and we find that very not only offensive that they would do that, we find it dark and dangerous that they would do that.
Yeah, that they would conjure up some evil force to put a spell of harm on some other human being. Okay, that's interesting.
So Instead of being able to talk to each other with reason and both laugh about the witches, but both also say, you know, but we kind of feel that this should be taken, you know, more sacred, they will just continue to laugh and mock us because we don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
And we have
to
recognize in one another.
They don't like the spiritual aspect of a lot of traditional people's lives. Okay, so there is a little bit more to that back interview. We had to edit it down for time, so we posted the whole thing on the website. You can hear it all. This is a good story. Seattle passed a $15 an hour minimum wage, okay? And I'm sympathetic to that, but I wouldn't put 15 on it because that upsets business. You're almost doubling the minimum wage if you do that. But I like a stronger minimum wage. Not higher. It is higher, but it's stronger to get more people into the workplace. All right? Okay. So they do a study at University of Washington, the Huskies. new study commissioned by the city of Seattle. And the study says now fewer people are working because there's layoffs, and the pizza places, fast food, hamburger joints, all these places cut their hours. So yeah, they're paying the $15 an hour, but you work fewer hours and there are fewer jobs. So the net is that people at the bottom of the earning chain are earning less in Seattle, Washington. Hey, out there, it's nothing wrong with wanting to help the poor, but you got to help them. Not just knee-jerk stuff. It's an honest study. Now they're embarrassed in Seattle, and the business is saying, look, we're operating at a pretty tough margin here for profit. You double the minimum wage, we got to let people off. It's the way it is. It's a very strong lesson to be learned. All right, let us go to my favorite part of the No Spin News on a daily basis, Bill at BillO'Reilly.com. You want to reach me with an email? Bill at BillO'Reilly.com, or the message boards, because if you're premium members, you have access to that. We monitor that, take what we feel are the good messages, give them to me, and then we read all the emails that come in, and we have a great segment every day. All right, Jerry in Athens, Texas, healthcare for people who have no insurance and are already seriously ill makes no sense. If you have no insurance on your home and it burns down, can you get a collection? It's a good point, Jerry. It's a good point. Amy Escondido, California. Bill, Trump promises world-class health care. So to compare the newly proposed bill that pays billions to health care companies and removes taxes for super rich to Obamacare is underestimating the intelligence of Americans. Why don't they cap malpractice? I like that, Amy. Cap malpractice adjustments, all right, as they have in other countries, to lower premiums. And why pay billions to healthcare companies? They're not really paying billions to healthcare companies. They're allowing the healthcare companies to operate in the capitalistic system. Now, as you just heard with Glenn Beck, I think there has to be some oversight there for gouging. All right? I think so. Joseph Chermuga, Newcastle, Colorado. Bill, I disagree with your analysis of the Democratic Party. I was raised old school in the 1950s, just like you. I was taught you are judged by the company you keep, and found that to be very true. Why aren't the so-called Democrats denouncing radicals in their party? It's a great point. It's a great point. People like Al Franken, Nancy Pelosi, radical progressives running wild, not contained. As you've noticed, I'm sure, Joseph, Nancy Pelosi's been under fire now. After the Georgia thing, that may be coming. But certainly, the moderate Democrats have not stepped up. Vito Vero, Scottsdale, Arizona, where it's like 120. Vito, stay inside. Can you imagine people who lived there before air conditioning, Native Americans? Can you imagine people who lived in a valley of the sun? Wow. Bill, I disagree with you when you said not all Dems are Trump haters. Other than Joe Manchin of West Virginia, can you identify other Democrats who have publicly come out and support President Trump? Not going to come out publicly and support a President Trump, but there are moderate Democrats in the Senate and the House. Not on health care, though. The word is out from the Democratic hierarchy. If you vote for the Trump health care bill, we'll isolate you. You won't get money for your reelection, dot, dot, dot. Word is out. Greg, Cape Coral, Florida. Bill, I'm concerned about the people who don't pay attention and are inundated with propaganda on other cable networks, also on shows like The View and Saturday Night Live. Are they not the majority of voters? I think they are. But the message does get through, and people vote their pocketbooks. They vote, Greg, their self-interest. So if the economy's not going well, as it wasn't under President Obama, people are squeezed, taxes are high, they'll vote for change, no matter what the far left does, as they did with President Trump. Joyce in Hemet, California, another great podcast, just returned from my trip. Listened to Old School, made my trip so much better. It was as good as all your other books, Bill. Love the part about your father's gold pants and red suspenders. And the bush that you removed after spilling paint on it. Can't wait for your next book. Joyce, we had a good time writing Old School Life in the Same Lane. And I'm glad you enjoyed it and read it, and I hope people seek it out. Ann Matthews in Netawaka, Kansas, just came back as a premium member, and so glad I did. Thank you, Ann. Thank you for coming back. Listen to your podcast with Laura Ingram, which is posted. You can hear it if you missed it. She was so right about people wanting to know what O'Reilly has to say, what's going on in the political arena. Your insight is usually right on. I can't listen to the networks. Their bias is deplorable. Okay, well, that's why we're here. And you see the upgraded video. Guys seem to like it. Any suggestions? This is a little, right here, it's a little pelican. Okay? We got to liven it up. I like this shirt. I don't know what the pelican's doing on the shirt, really. I'm just kind of landed there. But this is why we're doing the podcast and everything. And as I said, down the road, there's going to be more. And we don't exactly know what shape that's going to take. I'm enjoying a relaxing summer. But in the fall, we'll have some pretty big announcements for all you guys. Emily in Cottonwood, Arizona. Bill, if I had already read Killing the Rising Sun, is it still worthwhile to read The Day the World Went Nuclear? The Day the World Went Nuclear, Amy, is the kids' book off Killing the Rising Sun. If you read Killing the Rising Sun, you don't need to read The Day the World Went Nuclear. I'm killing my own product here. And as I told Beck, we have too much product. But it's great for kids, you know, 9 up. And if you haven't read or don't have the time to read Killing the Rising Sun, this is a shorter read and you get the highlights. But you don't need to read both books. I got to be honest. I can't be dishonest. William Fisher, Valparaiso, Indiana. Love the podcast. Just watch highlights of you and Miller, Bill. Someday soon I will catch you both live. I hope so. Caesar's Palace in Vegas, close to a sellout. Just in case you want to go to that show on December 15th. Great early Christmas gift. Got to get those tickets. Next night, Saturday night, December 16th, we'll be in Anaheim, California, the Honda Center. That's selling fast too. And in September, the 22nd, Baltimore, Royal Farms Arena, the 23rd, Saturday night, Tampa, the Amalie Arena. Oh, O'Reilly, Amalie Arena in Tampa. Make a weekend of it. Beautiful time to go there. Extend your summer. We'll link you right over the box offices on this website. A couple of more. Doug, Pawpaw, Michigan. Just finished Killing the Rising Sun. Wow. That's the best book you've written so far, O'Reilly. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. Lisa Miller, love hearing about Holly. We raised 3 corgis, and they are the greatest dogs. Love seeing her pictures on your site. Holly has now become a Twitter rock star. It's out of control. Holly is a star. Over the weekend, Holly fell in the swimming pool. I rescued her. Angela, Milwaukee, Oregon. Bill, I became a premium member as soon as you were off cable. I had to hear you because I want the facts. I love your video because I missed your face. I will say you look better without makeup than I do. I don't have any makeup on. Once in a while, if I'm tired or something, I'll slap a little something on, a little powder. But today, au naturel. All right, and here I am. Thanks for being premium members. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.